Chapter 1. Commander Adam Dalgleish was not unused to being urgently summoned to non-scheduled meetings with unspecified people at inconvenient times, but usually with one purpose in common. He could be confident that somewhere there lay a dead body awaiting his attention. There were other urgent calls, other meetings, sometimes at the highest level. Dalgleish, as a permanent ADC to the Commissioner, had a number of functions which, as they grew in number and importance, had become so ill-defined that most of his colleagues had given up trying to define them. But this meeting, called in Assistant Commissioner Harkness's office on the 7th floor of New Scotland Yard at 10:55 on the morning of Saturday, 23 October, had, from his first entry into the room, the unmistakable presaging of murder. This had nothing to do with a certain serious tension on the faces turned towards him. A departmental debacle would have caused greater concern. It was rather that unnatural death always provoked a peculiar unease, an uncomfortable realization that there were still some things that might not be susceptible to bureaucratic control. There were only three men awaiting him, and Dalgleish was surprised to see Alexander Coniston of the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. He liked Coniston, who was one of the few eccentrics remaining in an increasingly conformist and politicized service. Coniston had acquired a reputation for crisis management. This was partly founded on his belief that there was no emergency that was not amenable to precedent or departmental regulations, but when these orthodoxies failed, he could reveal a dangerous capacity for imaginative initiatives which, by any bureaucratic logic, deserved to end in disaster, but never did. Dalgleish, for whom few of the labyrinths of Westminster bureaucracy were wholly unfamiliar, had earlier decided that this dichotomy of character was inherited. Generations of Conistons had been soldiers. The foreign fields of Britain's imperialistic past were enriched by the bodies of unmemorialized victims of previous Coniston's crisis management. Even Coniston's eccentric appearance reflected a personal ambiguity. Alone among his colleagues, he dressed with the careful pin-striped conformity of a civil servant of the 30s, while with his strong bony face, mottled cheeks, and hair with the resilient waywardness of straw, he looked like a farmer. He was seated next to Dalgleish, opposite one of the wide windows. Having sat through the first 10 minutes of the present meeting with an unusual economy of words, he tilted his chair a little and complacently surveyed the panorama of towers and spires, lit by a transitory, unseasonable morning sun. Of the four men in the room, Coniston, Adam Dalgleish, Assistant Commissioner Harkness, and a fresh-faced boy from MI5 who had been introduced as Colin Reeves, Coniston, the one most concerned with the matter in hand, had so far said the least, while Reeves, preoccupied with the effort of remembering what was being said without the humiliating expedient of being seen to take notes, hadn't yet spoken. Now Coniston stirred himself for a summing up.
"Murder would be the most embarrassing for us. Suicide hardly less so in the circumstances. Accidental death we could probably live with. Given the victim, there's bound to be publicity, whichever it is. But it should be manageable, unless this is murder. Now, the problem is that we haven't much time. No date has been fixed yet, but the PM would like to arrange this top-secret international get-together in early January. A good time. Parliament not sitting, nothing much happens just after Christmas. Nothing is expected to happen. The PM seems to have set his mind on Coombe. So you'll take on the case, Adam. Good."
Before Dalgleish could reply, Harkness broke in.
"The security rating, if it comes off, couldn't be higher."
Dalgleish thought, "And even if you're in the know, which I doubt, you have no intention of telling me who will be meeting at this top-secret conference, or why." Security was always on a need-to-know basis. He could make his guesses, but had no particular curiosity.
On the other hand, he was being asked to investigate a violent death, and there were things he needed to be told.